Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on March 9th, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com
or call
310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here in the South Bay Show. And of course, joining us today as co-host and co-interviewer is the president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Mark Lips. And of course, with us because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, Mark, how are you guys doing today?
I'm a little upset that I was forgotten about, but other than that, I did eventually get the call. I made the call. Okay, good. I don't take things personally. You know, I should.
Mark,
I'm not going to let it bother me.
Wall. You're breaking the fourth wall.
I know.
You know what that is?
That's
the fourth
stress.
Wall. You're breaking
when
it.
You break a fourth wall. You're trying to get out of the room.
That's my fault, Mark. That's my fault, Mark. I apologize only because I have a couple of things that I want to mention this morning. A terrible tragedy happened early this week. Martha Barbee, one of the former Redondo Beach City Council people, her son died tragically. 15 years old. You can't comprehend it. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that there is going to be a service for a memorial gathering at Redondo Union High School Auditorium on Sunday. That's this Sunday at 3 p.m. And everyone is welcome to attend. And his sister requested that everybody wear blue because that was Vince's favorite color. So this Sunday at 3 p.m., service for Vincent Barbee at Redondo Union High School Auditorium. So I wanted to mention that. And one other item, the Whale of a Day event that was scheduled for this weekend has been rescheduled. It's been postponed until April 14th because I guess the rain in the forecast would kind of put a damper on the festivities. So they've rescheduled it for next month. I've updated the information on my website, so it's all there. So don't show up this weekend for Whale of a Day. I think it's on Sunday. So it's been postponed to April 14th. And that's all I have to say right now.
Wow.
So I know there are a lot of events going on, Mark. I'm really interested in the Economic Forum. Isn't that coming up soon?
Yeah, well, April 18th. And
April 18th,
it's going to be good. You know, everything I'm trying to do at the chamber, I'm trying to say this is not your parents' chamber. And so the things we do at these, like the State of the City and some of the other things we've done, we really want to take it up a notch and fit the personality of the people and the demographic of the people who utilize these, who are in the midst of this economic situation, you know, and I think we need to remember that, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted Joni to be on the call and be at the economic forum, because we're finding more and more that there's just as much of a need, for instance, not just hearing the trends and the figures that go with our economics in the South Bay and Manhattan Beach specifically, and what's working, what's not working. I mean, obviously, you want to talk marketing, you want to talk some of those things, how to get small business loans, things like that. But but there's the other thing. There's the health issue. I mean, we're such a fast pace because of the internet, because of email and texting and all that. Those of us who are old enough to remember the 80s and the 70s, we're doing five times as much today because we have so much more on our plate because we feel we can handle much more. So there's no downtime. There's no waiting for that contract to get through to you, through the mail to you. And so you take off and you rest, relax, think about the other things you need to do and stuff like that. Everything is all boom, boom, boom. You know, it was very popular to multitask. Well, as a result, I think our health is at issue here too, not just as part of our going through life, but in the office. And so, one of the key components is I wanted Joni to be able to say, hey, this is what you can do while you're in your office. So you can get some energy going through your body. You can stretch out. You can be, energized to maybe go that extra 2 hours or whatever it is that you need to get through a project or what have you. Or maybe you're going into a presentation. You need to get a little energy going, get your heart racing a little bit. So, you know, that's why they're making treadmills for your desk now. It's crazy. But
and you don't you have the stand-up desk now, don't you?
Yeah, well, we have the hydraulic desk. I haven't been standing much at it lately. You know, there's pros and cons of that. One is you're standing.
Is that a pro or a con? Tell me.
Well, you know, sometimes it's a pro, other times you're going, geez, I should sit down. But but we all have hydraulic desks. Absolutely, that's part of it. You know, for a while the Bosa ball was popular. I had one of those when I was at Fox. Sat on that for a while. People would come by and watch you sit on it. they have the ergonomic chairs now, but you know, really, it's all about, I think, getting that energy, you know. So anyway, that's just to make – I know I focused on one thing, but that's the economic forum. We're also going to, at the economic forum, I want to share ideas. I want to make sure that people are getting best practices. You know, when you have a bunch of small businesses in a community, people are trying lots of different things. Some are working, some are not. So – why not share that knowledge with others? You know, hey, this worked for us. Or don't try this. I've already been down that road. Don't do it. You know, and here's why. And so I definitely want a best practices component to it, and we'll work on that. And a lot of, you know, Ronnie Ramos is going to do a do-it-yourself marketing presentation again, because so many of these small businesses, you know, they're not only the bottle washer and the cashier, but they're the marketing person too, with Facebook and creating flyers and stuff like that. And how do you do that? How do you make it look like you've got a professional working on your staff? Well, there's all kinds of stuff on the internet now and programs that she will show you how to use, and you can make your materials just look, can make them really pop and look great. We've had already two seminars with her, and they're always well attended, sold out basically, standing room only. Mm-hmm. So,
You know, I have to tell you, Mark, we saw Ronnie Ramos speak at some event. I can't remember what it was, but Joe and I were there.
Yeah, I use her all the time. I use her pretty much.
Well, I'll tell you something that I've been using some of her ideas. I signed up on Canva, and I redid my media kit. You know, from her seminar. I mean, it's really, really helpful.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, also have something else that I want to bring up that I just got, that I got actually late yesterday from the city. And I'm going to put this out. I'm going to put it out in an e-blast, and we'll make some noise because it's coming up pretty quick. I wish they got it to me a little earlier so we could have made more noise about it. But our city, Manhattan Beach, is doing a business community meeting on homelessness. And it's basically being called End Homelessness, the plan to end homelessness in Manhattan Beach. And it'll be at the March 13th, 8th at 8:30 in the Police and Fire Conference Room. And it's for, you know, mainly for businesses and anybody concerned about homelessness in our community. You know, what can we do to help that?
Mm-hmm.
There'll also be a general community meeting. That's a business community meeting on March 13th. And then there'll be a general community meeting at 6:30 and I'll get this information out, on March 21st. Now, the thing about, if you can't make March 21st, I'm sure that if you're a resident, they wouldn't mind you coming to the March 13th and vice versa. So, but it's amazing stats, and it's really a big issue. I've already legislatively in my legislative affairs committee, and then, of course, Jackie, you know, as it relates to Redondo and other places, how serious this has been. What do you do? Because these people need help, and you can't just use law enforcement to kick them out of your area, because they got to go. Then they go to another area, not really solving the problem. The balloon is just, it's
kicking the can down
area.
The road. Kicking the can down the road. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. No. Well, that's the hottest topic of conversation on all levels. And I know in California, I'm not sure about the rest of the country, but I know it's a huge issue in California. What was the number of homelessness in LA County?
57,794 persons in LA County are homeless on a given night.
I know exactly what the solution is in Chicago. In Chicago, Illinois.
Are you going to tell us?
In the winter, outside equals death.
Yeah.
You can't stay outside in the winter in Chicago. It's not possible. You will die. You become a frozen block of ice.
I know, Chicago.
So the schools and the cities, offices and some churches open their basements for the homeless to stay during the evening, and then they essentially kick them out during the day. But it's an impossible problem when you don't have resources for, more or less permanent solutions. Dallas has an amazing solution. They hire the homeless to clean the streets, to pick up trash. And in that way, transition those that want to transition to work and to having a place to stay can transition with limited, upfront skills. They can just transition from the street to housing by working. But
do we know?
Go ahead,
Mark.
That's part of what we were legislatively we were talking about with all the politicos last week was that, and Janice Hahn, this is a big, huge priority for her.
God bless Janice Hahn.
But you can bring the homeless in, you can shelter them, and you can and train them for jobs. But that's only a
part of it.
A percentage of it. The rest is a mental issue.
Percentage.
What do you do with the other 55%? Or I can't remember what the percentage was, but it's big. And the streets are the biggest mental institution we have.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right.
And the second is the LA County jail system.
The jail system. I was going to say that, but I would imagine that a big chunk of that 57,000+ are people that were just devastated, by what happened in 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. The economic crisis is, a lot of people lost their jobs and everything else. And so hopefully, now that the economy is improving, I just saw numbers this morning for March, over 300,000 jobs were created just in March alone. So hopefully, a lot of these people with a helping hand can get their lives back on track. But you're right, Mark. The mentally unstable, and there's a drug problem too. So this is big picture stuff, you know.
Well, by the way, and that jobs issue you were talking, or jobs stat you were talking about, what they don't mention. I mean, I've seen it occasionally, but what they don't mention, I mean, that's great positive news. You want there should be more positive news given out there than just negative. But the 300,000 new jobs created. But what they don't say is the pay scale of those jobs is well below what it had been in the past. You know, it's way down there. So if you're in L.A. County, if you're in San Francisco or any of those places, you could have a job, but you still can't afford
There. Yeah.
There are teachers. I mean, it was in the L.A. Times not too long ago. They were literally living in their car and then going to teach.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They had PO boxes. And, I mean, there are some people who are working, you're right, but they're still living in their car. So that's why the state, the governor, too, along with the homeless issue, is affordable housing. That's another huge priority legislatively right now. And that's why, for instance, in Manhattan Beach, of course, huge affluent community, we're looking along Sepulveda and we're creating mixed-use development there. Or looking at creating mixed-use development where you can have living. Now, you say, well, yeah, but that's still going to be $750,000 for. So yeah, your average person still wouldn't be able to move in there, but still, it would be at least come down from where it would cost to live anywhere else in Manhattan Beach if you chose to live here for. You know, you might. We could still get new people in here. We could still get. New blood relative to the price of your homes and stuff like that. But we're still, everybody has been tasked, all the cities have been tasked to come up with a way to create affordable housing. And, you know, if you have a very dense community like Manhattan Beach, which is only 3.6 square miles, you know, there aren't many
open
solutions.
Distance.
Unless they can get apartment owners to carve out maybe one floor could be special housing or something like that, but you know.
Well, unfortunately, Mark, there are already factions in the South Bay that are fighting that. Unfortunately.
Yeah. No.
You know,
I know.
The whole
thing.
Anyway,
so
let's get
like
on.
It's times like this that I want to breathe and learn.
Yes.
I want
oh,
to
boy.
Breathe
what
and
a
learn.
Segue.
Let's talk. Yeah, thank you. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Joni Plake. Now, Joni is a local yoga and mindfulness teacher and the founder of Breathe and Learn, a kids' health and wellness company. Joni's yoga journey began while living in New York City and earning a master's in elementary and special education. Her experience as an educator in New York and LA highlighted the need for greater focus on social and emotional learning. After deepening her own yoga practice through a 200-hour teacher training, she was inspired to pursue teaching yoga full-time and create a workshop for children that supported emotional intelligence through journaling, yoga, and mindfulness. Now, whether she is working with children or adults, she hopes her students walk away from B&L classes and experience with a deeper understanding of themselves and tools to continue nourishing their minds and bodies in healthy ways. Now, as Mark mentioned, Joni is going to be one of the guest presenters at the Manhattan Beach Chamber Economic Forum taking place on Wednesday, April 18th at 10 a.m. at the Joslyn Community Center. Welcome to the program, Joni. Thank you for joining for us. And I'm standing up while I'm reading this introduction.
Thank you for that amazing introduction, by the way.
Thank you. There are so many aspects to yoga, to relaxation, to mindfulness that, you know, adults don't know and have not learned and is just not culturally common in our country to learn these things. And yet you're teaching these things to children, which could impact their lives for, you know, obviously their families' lives for many decades. Tell us a little bit about
how you came up with this combination.
Sure. So I guess my experience in the classroom, as you mentioned in the introduction, I started thinking, you know, these kids are having such a hard time during the school day. A lot's going on at home. They bring stuff to school, like we adults bring things to work, and it gets in the way of their learning. There's no way that they can learn how to add, subtract, any of these academic skills without first taking care of what's going on emotionally and letting go of that. So the charter school that I actually had started at here in Los Angeles when I moved here had a huge emphasis on social-emotional learning. So that was helping kids build these skills. And because it was our first year opening this charter school, I was given multiple curriculums to play around with. And two that I loved, one is called Mind Up, and it teaches kids about their brain. So it actually teaches them why they're having these big feelings or emotions. And kids I found loved that. They loved hearing the why behind everything. And then another program was Mindful Schools. And this program delved a little deeper into actual mindfulness work. So after using those two curriculums in the classroom and then deepening my own practice is why I eventually left the classroom to create something where I could have the time and the space, a full hour, to talk about these things with kids. That's one of the biggest challenges in the classroom is finding the time for this. Between the academic, it often gets a little pushed out. So that was my that was my vision, to create a yoga class, I guess merge the two, yoga, the fun, the physical part of it, with these bigger ideas and concepts and themes as a way to teach kids these important concepts early on that, as you mentioned, we adults are still working on and still coming back to in our daily lives.
And, of course, there's the – we were just discussing the economic imbalance in a society that values teaching but does not value teaching economically. There's the famous, you know, the famous Scandinavian model where, you know, if you don't have a master's degree, you can't teach. And if you don't have a PhD, you cannot teach at the secondary and above level. And they pay their teachers extremely well in Scandinavia in general, and Denmark in particular, because they economically value education. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that impacts the ability for teachers to come up with creative solutions? Like you had this idea, you could have done it in the classroom, but there was just no time, no space, and obviously no economic incentive.
Sure. I think, you know, that's one of my goals. I took this out of the classroom because I found, let's try it here first to see if it works, to see if kids are responding to it, where I know that I can control that, the time and the space. And it has. It's been amazing. And the feedback I've received from not only the kids but also the parents has been wonderful. So now I'm in a space where, okay, how can I help schools do this and find time? So, for example, I also teach sixth graders a similar curriculum. The Breathe and Learn curriculum was made for kindergarten through fifth, but I've modified it. So I go into the sixth grade, and that is a little bit easier because they have electives. So you can find your way into an elective. And, you know, you can move the desks out of the way. You get in there and do what you can. The elementary school level, surprisingly, sometimes is a little bit harder because their day is set up differently. But again, one of my goals is to go in and say, okay, here are the tools, here help teachers sort of understand how they can take something like Breathe and Learn or little pieces of it and resources and fit it into maybe 30 minutes of their school day, or even go into schools during lunchtime. So it's definitely a challenge. I think there is a desire for it. You know, mindfulness is the buzzword right now in education. So many people are talking about it. So many people want it, but that is kind of the wall you hit. Is okay, we want it now, where and how? I think.
You know, Joni, wouldn't, I mean, even, I totally get what you're doing. I love it. I love the whole concept. But even just having every class start and end with a stretch and some breathing, I mean, I got to imagine that would help tremendously.
Yes. I mean, that even each class session to break it up and transition. And the resources, I mean, just in the past, you know, it's been 5 years now since I've been in LA, and this is when I started, the amount of resources that are available to teachers, and that's also what I'm hoping to create more of, is to the journals I've created, to hand them over to teachers so that, like you said, they can begin the class with a 2-minute mindfulness meditation, just breathing, resetting. Mark brought up a lot of points when he was talking about the economic forum. And it's the same thing for kids, just a few minutes to breathe and unplug from everything they're bombarded with throughout the day.
Well, you know, it's funny, those kids, especially, you know, kindergarten through fifth, I think you were saying, they're natural contortionists. You know, I wish I could still put my foot behind my head. But that's not happening
anymore.
But
what is the don't we all? That's why you do yoga, Jackie. You should be doing yoga. Quit flying around on those things and do real yoga.
It's aerial yoga. It is.
Yeah. I did the aerial yoga, and I thought I was going to throw up. But the if you do the hot yoga, that even loosens up your bones even more, and you will get that leg behind your head.
Can you get your leg behind your head now, Mark?
No, I haven't done yoga in a little while. I did it every day for almost a year. So I'm probably. Are you kidding? My leg is behind my head right now. I've been talking the whole time with my leg behind my head. So
he's standing while he's doing it. The breathe
and learn. What's the learn part?
Right. So, well, I want to jump into. I'll get to the learn part, but I think it's. I'm really glad Jackie brought up the yoga, because that is what makes this fun. It can get so serious sometimes with mindfulness and breathing, and kids think they have to stay still. So that's where the yoga comes in, because it breaks up this, yes, there are times to sit and breathe and be still and recognize that in your body, but, you know, we love to run around, move our bodies into these poses. That's good for us too. So that's where the balance, the learn portion is the curriculum I've created. So when I set out to do this, it sort of started organically at a family's home who I used to teach in the classroom. And I knew that I wanted it to be more than just yoga. And I knew I wanted a space for these girls. It had began as girls, and now it's co-ed, to write down their thoughts, their reflections, and explicitly name these themes we talk about. Because I think it's one thing to say them and talk about it and then go on and just do the yoga. But when kids have a workbook or a journal to write in, they can document what they've learned, and it's a great way for parents to see what they're doing at class also. So I began creating these journals that slowly changed over time. And last summer, I sat down and looked at what I had created and said, okay, as I go into my first full year of Breathe and Learn, I want to make sure that backwards design, if someone takes my entire year of classes, they get new concepts, new approaches to learning these themes. So I broke it down into 4 sessions that are each about 8 weeks. And throughout those sessions, kids will learn different social and emotional skills. They'll learn, the first 2 sessions were split into personal competencies, so learning more about self-compassion, self-awareness. And then as the year progressed, we moved into more social. So a lot of teamwork things, working together, relationship management, so that, again, there was more of a flow, and these kids were walking away with something a bit more than just the yoga physical portion, and a way to document it all and see their learning. And in addition to these themes, they have pictures of all the yoga poses. They create stories with them, and those are all done in the journals as well. So it's exciting. This past week, I just started session 4, and the kids were so excited to open up the new journal, see what was in there. It just brings another level of excitement.
Do you do those at Hot Yogi? Is that what?
Where
are you doing the classes?
So the business model right now has turned into a mobile program. So I rent space in Mar Vista, and then I rent space in the South Bay. And
okay.
So
got
as
it.
Living in the South Bay, I wanted to build a community here. So, yes, I rent space at Hot Yogi, their new location, South location, and Life Yoga in Hermosa Beach.
Okay.
And a little bit at Soho Yoga, and then we're adding a class at Harmony Yoga. So we're building a lot here.
Have you spoken to Patricia at PS I Love You at all?
I just met her recently, actually. Sure. I was at a mental health task force meeting for Beach Cities a couple weeks ago, and we all stood up and spoke and gave our little elevator pitch, and naturally, many of us in that room connected, and so at the end, we were able to talk and exchange information.
As I used to teach a class for her, I did that for a couple of years, just because it's something I think is important to have in our classrooms, and it's all about mindfulness. She also has a yoga component to her curriculum as well, and she's always looking for people to be a part of that.
Yes, I have to circle back.
Joni, you're making such really smart, mindful decisions as regards your business, because I can tell you that I recently started a business with a partner, and we looked at various options for working space and realized that we worked out of our homes more often than not. We met with clients at coffee shops and restaurants. There was no need for an office space, but we found a great relationship with one of our clients at WeWork. That's WeWork in the Manhattan Towers, just behind the mall. And it's amazing to have a space to go to have conference room space, but you only rent what you use. You're not tied to that every month, rent and lease payment, which kills that kind of overhead, kills a small business.
Yeah, I think
so
that.
I applaud you. Be mobile.
Thank you. Be mobile is sort of the way, and I've toyed with the idea of a studio for sure, and I went back and forth for a while, but I'm pretty set doing what I am doing, and one, because of, from the business side, the expense of it all. But also, being mobile allows me to be in more spaces and communities. I have a teacher who teaches for me in Mar Vista, but also is taking it over to West Hollywood at a meditation studio where she is. So it's allowing me to expand to other different pockets as well, and then keep my home base in Manhattan Beach.
I don't know if you're aware, Joni, but Beach City's Health District offers a free mindfulness drop-in. It might be the first Wednesday or the last Wednesday of the month. I can't remember which one it is. But, one day a month they do a mindfulness drop-in, and you can just pop by. Do you work with them at all?
I just started this in the new year. I guess it was the end of last year and beginning of new. I've been, like I mentioned, I was at the mental task force where – and reconnected with a lot of people I met.
Oh,
and they
do.
Beach Cities offers so many amazing programs. If you go on their website, it's like when I found them, like, how did I not know about this? And I actually paired up with them they do free fitness Saturdays. So this Saturday, I'm so glad you mentioned, this Saturday coming up, I have a free class.
It's free fitness weekends. They do it once a month.
Weekend.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's coming
you're
up.
You're doing one?
Yep, so I'm a part of that. On this Saturday from 9 to 10, I teach classes in Hermosa Beach right at the pier. And so if you go on my website, breatheandlearn.com, you can find details. I teach every weekend, Saturdays and Sundays, but this one specifically, since I've teamed up with Beach Cities, is free. So
It's free. We love free.
It's free.
We adore free. Hey, Joe, real quick, let's do a station
yeah.
break real quick.
Let's do that. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking about many different subjects, but our primary subject is to breathe and to learn. We're talking about yoga and mindfulness with children and the advantages, the many advantages of mental and physical acuity and just being present in their bodies and present in their times at school and in other endeavors. And so we want to continue to talk with Breathe and Learn, Joni Plake, and we will do that. We also have the president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber with us, Mr. Mark Lips. And we also have the opportunity to take questions. We might take one or two questions. If you would like to call in, please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have a few comments or questions. So now we're back, and there's lots of things going on around the city now. What, Joni, what would you say? I mean, obviously, my children are older. My youngest is 23 years old. But when we were young, my son was born in Hermosa Beach. When he was young, it was just a whirlwind of activity. My wife and I were busy. You know, it seemed like every day of the week, 7 days a week, Saturday and Sunday included, there was something going on for one of the three kids that we were attending, whether it was soccer or baseball or school related or funding, you know, raising funds for the school, whatever. Mm-hmm. For parents, it's just never ending. How do you get the whole family to become mindful and present? Because it isn't enough to just, you know, have the kids for an hour or two a week.
You're exactly right, but don't kill my business. No,
right.
It's funny because I say that, I joke, because you can't just drop your kids off for an hour and 15 minutes a day and expect everything to change and be brilliant. And I tell the kids that too, that, you know, you're not going to fix everything, but just an hour and 15 minutes a day. So, you know, one reason that I do have my workshop, I call them workshops because they are set up for 8 weeks. So when you sign up, you're committing to 8 classes at least. So the kids get that full experience and they're showing up every day. So I fit into that very structured activity schedule. At the same time, I do invite parents. I send out weekly emails and updates about what happens at class and provide them with resources. Say, here's what at home. Your child about what they learned in class today. This was the theme of the week, to involve them, because you're absolutely right. They need that modeling from their parents. I can tell them, I can show them, but they're watching their parents every move, every behavior. And so the more that I can help influence parents and teach them as well, the greater that whole family unit can become at being more mindful. Okay. So even with schools lately, we've done a lot of mother-daughter or mother-child, I should say, workshops, right, so that the parents are there with the kids. And it's challenging. It's challenging to get to carve out that time. But the more
we have so many stay-at-home moms in this area, that's probably a good way to approach it, though, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in the South Bay. I'm thinking, you know, Manhattan Beach specifically.
Right. And then for the one time that I do make special, just like you would have a dance recital end or a big game, every workshop culminates with a parent-child. The parents get to come, the kids teach, and they get to experience it together. So even if it's just that one time.
I got to ask you, Joni, only because this happened to me earlier this week. I was in the supermarket, and this poor woman, her kid was having a meltdown. An absolute meltdown in the store. what you teach, can that help with those situations?
Absolutely. Is the meltdown still going to happen? Sure. Hopefully, maybe not as long. Teaching kids to recognize their emotions and parents to let them have the emotions, but then come back a little bit quicker, right? I guess that is the idea, that you're still going to be upset, you're still going to have these emotions, but then to be self-aware enough that it's happening, or to catch it before it happens, and then teaching them
catch
to breathe.
Catch it before it happens. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And recognizing, oh my gosh, I'm going to flip. There's a thing we teach kids called, you know, my lid's going to flip. You're going to flip your lid. And so when you feel that, you can feel it in your body. You start to tense. You start to stress. Right? What are these little cues that happen? And then right then and there, you can stop, breathe, and then have a response rather than a crazy reaction.
Yeah, I would imagine that it, by instructing the parents as well, as you said, see it, recognize the signs, see that it's coming, and mm-hmm. and you'll have a step up on it.
Right. Right. So that is part of it too, and why it's important to have the parents involved in understanding what their kids are learning, as well. So when they take these journals home, look through them.
You know, do you find, it seems to me, in some of the teaching that I've done, that, because when I retired from Fox, remember, Jackie, I retired from Fox, you said I was the happiest guy without a job. My mom always said, I thought I was retired. My wife said I was unemployed, so, you know, whatever. But I spent a couple of years, I mean, just exploring, doing things, and one of them, my mom always said I should teach. So I went and did some teaching and got that out of my system. The one thing I noticed, these kids soak this stuff up, you know, mm-hmm. and they listen better than we give them credit for. You know, I mean, you'll see a kid, mm-hmm. you'll teach him a breathing exercise, and you'll see him in a situation where he needs to use it. He'll actually use it.
Right.
Whereas adults forget to use it. Adults have so many things going, they forget, or they're not listening, or when they are presenting something to them, they're thinking about something else. I mean, you have to find ways to engage them. That's what you try to do. But, I mean, the kids just soak it up, and they remember it. You'll see them doing things like, you know, if you even give them a little test, like a count to 10 before, you know, but when you feel like you're going to explode, count to 10 and breathe. And, you know, little things like that, and you'll see them actually practicing that. That's the cool thing about kids. That's why I think you're right on with kids, because then it will build from there. All these kids become adults, and, you know, hopefully they pick up those attributes and those skills and find ways to handle their own inner things without hopefully having to go to Ritalin and other things. You know, they figure out natural ways mm-hmm. to do it.
Right, and they absolutely love being teachers. So once you empower them to be the teacher and teach each other, it's great, because then they go home, and that's what they're taking that piece home to teach their mom, their dad, what they learned at class. And so, you know, once we can teach something, we become even more experts on it. So,
who is it, boys or girls? Who do you find it easier to teach? And then I'll tell you my thoughts on that.
Well,
I will
so
say
it started as all girls.
Yeah, right. Let me tell you, these
it
girls.
Started,
hey, you're second, Mark.
Light
you're second.
Years
She's
ahead.
First.
Okay, go.
She's first. You're second.
Okay.
Girls, it started as, and then it's funny. I taught a lot of boys, and their moms all reached out. Can we do a boys class? So I did an all boys class. Let me tell you, that was
yeah.
a challenge.
Yes.
And so if I was going to teach all boys, I knew I took it on. Well, it's not the boys. I need to change my approach then. So they need to, you know, be moving more. There's the whole, it needs to look a little bit different.
Wear them out. Puppies.
Then, right. 20 jumping jacks. Then sit down. We'll talk about it. But then I thought, why don't I just do co-ed? Why does it have to be, you know, there's a lot of pressure in it. All girls, girl power, all. I said, why not co-ed? Like, we need to be in the same space. You know, they're growing up, and, you know, you're in the same space. I do think there are benefits to separating. But at the same time, I thought, let's put them together, because all boys alone was a little wild. And said, why not put them together? And I have a lot of siblings taking classes together, and I've had boys in the class with girls, and I found the balancing of energies was way better to go with that approach. So right now, I mean, percentage-wise, I'd say it's still probably 80-20, 80% girls, 20% boys, but each session I'll get a couple more boys, and they need it just as much, if not more so.
For different reasons, you know.
Right.
The girls are light years ahead of the boys, first of all. They're just light years. I mean, it's unbelievable. I don't know how we've even survived. But
I recently went to a speaker series on the female and male brain, which was fascinating, and that helped kind of break down why, you know, boys are innately in their brains more logical and more physical, and females have a more verbal brain.
Mm-hmm.
So just that in general, learning more about the brain helps me approach class.
I think the girls, you know, and we're off topic a little bit, but girls have had to survive by their wits.
Mm-hmm.
And ladies and women have had to survive by their wits, their brain.
We still are.
I know. And boys, you know, so that's how it's all morphed into that. You know, that's why they're smarter than, I mean, the one thing that a guy finds out after he gets married is he is not the smartest one in the room. And girls, the smart ladies, sure, let him believe that for as long as
he lasts,
but, well, it's true. It is absolutely true. Let me tell you, I will tell you right now that the average, the mental age of a guy never progresses past 13. The mental age of a woman never progresses really past 19 or 20, but there's so much, there's still, that puts them light years ahead of the 13-year-old. A guy, watch a guy walk into a Best Buy. Okay, next time John, Jackie, next time John comes at you with some sort of thing he wants to do, or you stop him from doing something he wants to do it, or how he reacts to something, just think, that's the way a 13-year-old would react, you know?
Well, I just had a good example of that. We're so off topic, but I had an excellent example of that this week. John was buying, he bought new ski boots, and we have that Amazon Prime, so
right.
No shipping, you know, we don't get you. So he ordered, I don't know how many pairs of ski boots, different models, and he's been walking around the house in his ski boots all week.
Right.
Trying
and who
to
does that?
Yeah, man.
An 8-year-old.
Yeah, there you go.
13-year-old. You don't see the girl walking around in her ski boots, you know, and making sounds and looking at his feet and checking him out in the mirror, or, you know, I mean, it's like flexing their muscles. But, and the girls, though, 19, 20, they're light years ahead. That's how much farther they had. But boy, can, you know, at that age, the brain, the manipulation, the negotiation skills, all of those things are so much better. And I would see it with third graders and second graders. I would go into the classroom, and these third grade girls would go, Mr. Lips, I'll go ahead and put the agenda up on the board and write it all out. And these guys over here are picking their noses, and, you know, I mean, they just have no clue.
Hey, we're not doing male bashing today. We're not going to get into that.
No, but I just think it's interesting because I have all boys. I have three boys. They're all in their 20s now. And I just wanted one little girl. I just wanted to see what it was like, you know. Like, I just imagine quiet tea parties. Of course, mine probably would have been playing softball and knocking, you know, everything through the window. But still,
hockey.
You know,
hockey.
Hockey,
yeah.
Right.
Hockey.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
But, you know, maybe I'll get a granddaughter. But anyway. So, Joni.
Well, I think it's...
See, Joni backed this up, though. She said it's all... The girls
Jackson,
so much easier.
He'll be first.
They're listening. Their eyes forward. You know, facing her. You know, boys are. You know,
your first grandson.
But you, I have to say, Mark, the one thing I did learn at this series is that, you know, since you're sitting here at the male bash, our approach to education is failing males in a lot of ways because of that. You know, we ask their brains aren't meant to do that, so it's recognizing we need to kind of shift how.
Well, here's my little take on that, too, is, Joe, you and I, our boys both played baseball together. The one of the things that the misnomer when you use the word sport in high school, we need to start expanding that term, because when you say sport, everybody thinks, oh, baseball, football, basketball, soccer, you know, water polo. But sport is also Model UN. They compete. Mm-hmm. Sport is our improv club at the MiraCosta. They compete all over the state. Drama competes all over the state. These are sports, you know, speech. These are all sports. They compete. Anything that competes should be labeled a sport. And it should. And we need to start doing that so that we make it, because I think there's an attitude out there, you know, this thing about, he's into sports. Oh, what, you know, we need to change it to where, oh, is he do Model UN? No, he does baseball. Oh, you know, or he's into a sport. Oh, does he play baseball? No, he does Model UN. And we need to really start working on making these things, get rid of these perceptions, I guess is what it is. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. We're letting the guys down because we need to set these role models for boys and guys. That's why I love the PS I Love You. You know, we worked on that. So.
Well, I'm also a big believer. I've never thought that it was normal by any stretch of the imagination for kids to be stuck in a desk, you know, for 8 hours a day, or whatever it is. I mean, that to me nothing about that seems natural, you know.
We're setting ourselves up for problems.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Right.
Hey, I'm sitting here at my desk, you know, 10 hours a day. Where do
that's
you think
why
I get
I like
them,
it.
Right?
That's why I like it when Gensler comes out and designs the Da Vinci School or designs some of these schools. We're looking at new designs for schools because they look like prisons. And now with the active shooter stuff, you know, we're putting fences around them and doing things like that. Mm-hmm. So we've got to do that stuff maybe, but let's create the some sort of really cool space inside, because we're evolving and we want we want a cool place. And so why couldn't you have an area where kids at lunch could just go walk over and start doing yoga? It's just always yoga right there, you know, or Tai Chi or even,
continuous.
You know, anything. So,
you know,
why not have
Joni,
yoga
just,
go on for all school. And then people can dip in and dip out between classes. That would be great.
Yeah. Well, you know, Joni, I want to tell you my yoga experience. You know, for years, I've always been very active. I've always been an athlete. I did mixed martial arts for 10 years and very physical. And several people, you know, you get a lot of aches and pains, and several people would say, well, you should take a yoga class or a Pilates class. And over the years, I tried it. And, you know, anytime I start looking at a clock 10 minutes into class, it's not a good sign, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And fast forward many years, I stumbled upon a yoga class, actually, at my mixed martial arts studio. They started offering a 10 o'clock yoga class or something. And for whatever reason, I went to it. And for me, it was about finding the instructor with the style that worked for me. And from the very first time I took a class with her, it changed my life. It wasn't anything extreme. It's simple poses. But I would be standing in a pose, and the sweat would be pouring off me. And at the end of class, I felt so energized. And it's like I couldn't wait every day to go to this class. I just found the right instructor and the right yoga style for me. And what happened around the time I started doing this, I noticed, was that when I would be in a very hectic situation, I'd be faced with something, or there was a lot of chaos around me or something, I stepped back and I breathed, and I didn't jump the gun. I didn't react immediately without knowing how I was. It really did change my life. You know, I mean, it's something I wish I had discovered it years sooner. So the fact that your kids are getting the opportunity to do this now, it can have a huge impact on their life.
Right. And I feel like that's
lifelong
very
learning.
Similar to my story, is how I found yoga too. I was an athlete as well, played sports in college, all through high school. And, you know, we were dabbled in yoga. They would bring a yoga instructor in, but it was never anything that I was seeking on my own. And it wasn't until when I was living in New York that, you know, after all the aches and pains and surgeries, I finally said, okay, let's give this a shot. And just like you, when you find that teacher and you feel it and the energy and just almost the therapy from it too.
Yeah,
and then
yes,
how it slowly,
yes,
like any other habit you build, it slowly translates over into your life. And, you know,
and
you find yourself.
The same with meditation. Yeah. You know, finding mm-hmm. the right meditation style that works for you. But again, it's, you know, it's hit and miss. You got to go out. You got to be proactive. You got to try different things. You know, Mark, you did that hot yoga. You see, I could not. I tried doing it. I almost passed out. But you really enjoyed it while you did that. And how
well,
long
you have
did
to get
it take
used you? To it.
Yeah. How
you
long?
Know,
how long did it take you to
I did
find?
It, I did it. I did it almost every day for a year, and. And now I've gotten out of the habit because, well, now I'm gainfully employed. It always throws a wrinkle in your plans. I can't just get up and go, hey, I'll do that noon yoga class.
That pesky job. Yeah, the whole pesky job thing. Man.
You know, but I love, I liked it, but it's not for everybody. But also, I just think getting all that stuff out of your pores, I liked the hot because it just sweated all this junk out. I felt like it was doing that. You know, you definitely have to hydrate. And you're right, everybody, I mean, it is all about the teacher. Because I did it, because I got so involved in yoga, I had, you know, you do it every day. There's different classes, different teachers. I took all kinds of different classes. And so you knew which ones, oh, good, mm-hmm. such and such is teaching today.
Right,
like that. And so it does, and it's all walks of life, you know. I mean, that's teachers everywhere, you know, the good teachers and bad teachers. So,
Joni, the hour just flew by here. So we mentioned that you're going to be one of the presenters at the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce Economic Forum on Wednesday, April 18th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Joslyn Community Center. But give us contact information. How can people find you? Website address, phone numbers, emails, anything you want to give out.
Sure. Yeah. The best way I would say is go on the website, www.breatheandlearn.com. Make sure to put an E at the end of breathe. Many people will go to breath and learn. Head to breatheandlearn.com. All schedules, locations, information, contact is joni@breatheandlearn.com. You can always email me. We do a lot of private group lessons too, and I'm starting yoga for athletes. For older kids as well. All those things are on a private basis now, but starting to grow as classes. So reach out. Any questions, comments, concerns, anything, I'm here. As a resource.
Joni, what sports? What was your sport?
I played lacrosse at Penn State.
Oh, wow. Lacrosse at Penn State.
I played lacrosse at Penn State for 4 years. And then
wow.
Basketball, though, actually was my sport. I started in third grade and played all the way through high school. But unfortunately, my size, I stopped growing. I knew that I couldn't play Division I basketball. And so I picked up lacrosse in high school. It was pretty new. I'm from Pittsburgh. And, it was wonderful. So I'm a big, you know, sports fan. And I think it's amazing. And it's a great way to introduce yoga and mindfulness to kids who are more active in the sports realm.
Right. Well, lacrosse has started to pick up around here, too. So finally, in the last few years.
It has, yeah. I actually was coaching for a while out here. I was coaching for a club team. But it's time. It's time to go.
Take us home. Take us home, Joe.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. What a great discussion we've had about many different topics, but primarily the time to find spaces and places for kids to slow down and to be mindful and to practice yoga. And we have a very good recommendation for you, breatheandlearn.com. Breatheandlearn.com. Joni Plake, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
See you, Joni.
And is it Plake or Plakey?
Plake. Plake.
Plake.
Plake. Yes.
Plake. Simple. Plake.
Plake.
Thank you so
and
much.
I look
and
forward
thank
to
you,
seeing
Mark,
everyone
for
at the
us.
Forum.
Yes.
The forum, Mark, can you quickly give out the details on the forum?
April 18th, 10 to 1 at the Jocelyn Center. You can sign up at the ManhattanBeachChamber.com website, and it will include a nice little lunch. So you will walk away with information
right.
you can use. So, and Joni will be part of that. So we're excited.
Yes.
All right.
And thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Thanks, all.